It's time for Fresh Oil with singer-songwriter and pastor Keith Manley, a program designed to minister the gospel of God's grace and to bring fresh oil to the brokenhearted. And now, with today's program, Pastor Keith Manley.
It's so good to be coming to you today, sharing the truths from God's Word. I'm Keith Manley, and this is a program we call Fresh Oil. This week is a special week on Fresh Oil. We're covering one of my favorite chapters in the Old Testament. That's Leviticus 23. This is the chapter where God gives us, well, first he gives us a weekly holiday called the Sabbath. He said there are 6 days when you may work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of rest, a day of sacred assembly. You're not to do any work. Wherever you live, it is a Sabbath to the Lord. And so that first weekly Sabbath is a picture of Jesus Christ. He gives us rest in Christ. I grew up trying to be good enough, believing that one day I would be good enough for God to accept me. And then I discovered one day that he gives me that perfection only through Jesus Christ. In him, I find completion. In him, he's my rest. He's my rest from trying to relate to God through the 613 laws he gave to the Jews. I can come to him now and say, Father, I believe in Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, and I receive what he did for me on the cross, and God says that's good enough. And he gives me that state of perfection, that he gives me salvation and freedom through Jesus Christ. But then God gave the Jews 7 holidays, and those 7 holidays would be a picture of God's redemption plan, and they would be fulfilled by Christ throughout his first coming, the sending of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, and then finally his second coming through the fall feast that would happen in the fall. So the first thing was he gives us the picture through Yom Shabbat, the day of rest. Just as God rested from all of his work, in Christ we rest from performance-based religion, where we work to please God. Friend, there's only 2 ways you can relate to God. You can relate to him by your performance through works, the law. The law is when you relate to God based on your performance. That's the Jewish faith. See, I've often said the Bible is a book that has 2 religions. When I studied Hebrew, I studied the Bible, the Old Testament. And we would begin with Genesis 1:1, and we would learn the Hebrew language studying the Bible. But the Bible contains 2 religions. It contains the religion of Judaism, that old covenant, which is relating to God based on your performance. How good did you have to be? 100% absolutely perfect. Could anybody do it? No, that's why Jesus came. The second way to relate to God is you relate to him through this new covenant called grace. And God gives us salvation based on our faith through Jesus Christ. In him, we live and move and have our being. Did you know that the Apostle Paul tells us that these 7 holidays, these feasts of Israel, are all about Jesus? He said in Colossians 2, verse 16 and 17, he said, therefore, now I've taught you, when you see the word therefore, stop and see what it's there for. It means this is a heavy verse in the Bible. It means I've said all this previously to make my point. Now here's my point. So he says, therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink or with regard to a religious festival. That's the 7 feasts of Israel, a new moon celebration or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. See, the Sabbath day is really Saturday, but most of us worship on Sunday. I used to be worried about that 40 years ago when I started my church, because I'm like, I can't call Sunday the Sabbath day, because it's not. It's actually the first day of the week. Look on your calendar. God bless the seventh day. That was Saturday, and he made it holy. But here, Paul tells us, don't let anybody judge you about a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. And then he goes on and says this, these are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Now, I told you yesterday that the feasts of Israel basically have 3 different groupings. There are the spring feasts. They all prophesy and speak about exact days that Jesus would fulfill in his first coming. They are Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and the Feast of First Fruits. You know what's amazing about that, friend? Christ died at the exact moment the Passover lamb would die. John the Baptist introduced him as, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." I find that amazing because John, of all the names he could introduce Jesus by, he introduced him as the Lamb of God who could take away the sins of the world. He could have gone back to the book of Genesis and introduced him as the promised seed that would defeat the devil. He could have gone to Exodus. All the different books of the Bible, he could have found a different name, the Bride of Morning Star, the Lily of the Valley, the Fairest of 10,000. But he chose the greatest need of mankind, and that was for a lamb that would not just temporarily cover our sins, but a lamb that would take away our sins. So he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." So those first three feasts, Jesus would fulfill exactly to the day he's going to die, right at the moment the Passover lamb on the preparation day, hours before Passover would begin. And then in the Feast of Unleavened Bread, he would lay in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights, totally fulfilling that feast. And then at the moment the day would begin of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, Jesus would fulfill the Feast of First Fruits, and Paul would call him Christ, the first fruits of our resurrection. Now today we want to talk about the first feast. Let's begin with Leviticus 23 today. Look at the first two verses. "The Lord spoke again to Moses, saying, Speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, The Lord's appointed times." Remember, these are appointed times. They're called Moedim in Hebrew. They're like God took out his date book and made an appointment with mankind. And he said, "These are my appointed times." And then he goes on and says, "My appointed times are," verse 5, "in the first month of the 14th day of the month at twilight is the Lord's Passover." Now, the first thing we need to understand is the Jews celebrate their months and days and even their hours differently than we do. For example, the new day begins at sunset. We have morning and then we have evening as a part of our day, but not so with the Jews. They don't begin their new day at midnight. They begin their new day at sunset. And that is because when you go to the creation story in the book of Genesis, it said, "And the evening and the morning was the day." And the evening and the morning was the day. So they begin their new day with the setting of the sun. So tonight at sunset, it will be the next day for the Jews. And so he said this in the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at twilight, that's when the sun goes down, is the Lord's Passover. Now, their first month is not January like we have. It's in the spring of the year. It corresponds with our month of April. So it's the first month of the Jewish calendar. They call it the month of Aviv. Aviv means spring in Hebrew. And so on the first day is what? It's the Lord's Passover. Now, this is a holiday that many of us are familiar with since it coincides with the timing of the American holiday that we call Easter. Perhaps you've been through a Passover Seder. Passover tells the story of the death of Jesus, the Lamb of God. Now, we're going to see later on this week that the Passover on the year Christ died in 30 AD was a Thursday, the 14th day of Aviv. I'm going to do an entire sermon at the end of this week telling you how it's impossible that Christ died on a Friday. We celebrate something called Good Friday, but it's impossible because Jesus said, "As Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights." You can't even get but a day and a half by going by the religious way we celebrate Easter. So it's going to be exciting when you see these holidays make us understand how Christ really would have died on a Wednesday afternoon at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. He was placed in the grave just before the sun was setting, which would be the next day, Thursday, the 14th day of Aviv, which would have been the Lord's Passover. Now, what was Passover really all about? The story is found in the Bible in the book of Exodus, chapter 12. This is what it says. "Now the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, This month shall be the beginning of months for you. It is to be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, On the 10th of this month, they are each one to take a lamb for themselves according to their father's households, a lamb for each household. Your lamb shall be an unblemished male, a year old, and you may take it from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. 14th day of the first month, sound familiar? That's the Lord's Passover. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel is to kill it at twilight. Moreover, they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. Now, God's giving this plan to Moses to give to the children of Israel. Now, understand this. They're in Egypt. And Egypt was, it was like maybe India today, where in India, you know, so many people are starving, but it's because, not because they don't have enough food, it's because they worship the animals, and so therefore they can't kill them. If they were to kill them, it might be Uncle George who passed away and came back as a cow in their religion. And so the same thing was true in Egypt. Egypt worshiped so many gods. But would you like to guess what their number one god was? It was a god by the name of Amun-Ra. Amun-Ra was the chief god to all the Egyptians. And every god would have a theophany or an animal that would represent that god. Would you like to guess what was the theophany or the animal that represented the number one god of Egypt? It was a lamb. You see, it was almost against the law to kill any animal in Egypt, but especially the animal that represented the number one god of all of Egypt. And what does God do? He tells every Jewish family they have to kill a lamb if they're going to be safe from the death angel, which is going to come into Egypt and pass over every household and kill the firstborn. And the only way it will pass over your house is if you have the blood applied on the doorpost of your house from that spotless lamb. Are you getting a picture of this? I could just hear somebody thinking in their mind, "Oh, Moses, I sure hope you're right, because if not, they're going to arrest me. They're going to kill me because I just killed a god by killing a lamb." But God also told them the blood had to be put above the doorpost and on the lintel, the top of the house in which they eat it, up top of the door. And God wanted the blood applied where everyone could see it. You see, friend, there are no secret agents for God. No, He wants us all to be very open about our faith and put the blood right over the doorpost where everyone can see it. I think that is so amazing that God tells them they have to kill a spotless lamb. They got to watch it for 3 days and kill it on the 10th day, watch it, and then on the 14th day, they're to kill it and then put the blood over the doorpost. See, when Jesus came into Jerusalem, they were watching the lamb. They were watching the lamb until that he was killed on the preparation day just hours before the 14th day of the month, when they would celebrate Passover. God wanted them to realize and understand that Jesus was the Lamb of God. They had celebrated him for all these years, and now when Jesus comes, they were to see that he is Messiah. God didn't want the Jews to miss Messiah. They wanted them to see him and understand and accept him as their Lord and Savior. So what was Passover all about? Passover was all about the Lamb of God, that they would see, just like John said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." You know, friend, I love the fact that Jesus didn't just forgive my sin, he took it away. Colossians chapter 2 tells us that Christ nailed the law to the cross. He took it away so that Satan could no longer use it to accuse me and tell me that I was going to hell because I had failed keeping that law, being absolutely perfect, where God would accept me. Join me tomorrow as we continue with the seven feasts of Israel. God bless you, friend.
Thanks for joining us today for Fresh Oil with Pastor Keith Manley. Fresh Oil is an outreach of Grace Family Church in Rockford, Illinois, and can be heard each weekday at this same time. You can reach us online at weneedgod.com. Until next time, remember, God's love for you is unconditional, and He makes His mercies new every morning.